Hello and welcome to the Fabulous by Design podcast. I'm your host Evie. I am excited you are listening today. This show inspires and empowers you to take the next step towards a life you can't stop thinking about. I am bringing in people from all over the world with authentic and inspiring stories. People who changed their lives from good to better, from miserable to great, turned strategy into hope, and became successful entrepreneurs and business owners, living their dream life on their own terms. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to create the life of your dreams is already within you. In today's episode, I have a wonderful conversation partner, Jillian Antonio. Jillian is a solo travel confidence and friendship coach. She's on a mission to empower you to transform yourself and your life. With a background in neuroscience and 10 years of corporate healthcare and biotech career, she realized she was depressed and unfulfilled. So she left it all behind to live out of her suitcase and travel the world. Stay tuned. In this episode, we will speak about her travel experiences, including the ups and downs, the transformation and growth that you can gain through travel, and how to make meaningful and aligned connections around the globe. Tired of programs that leave you feeling the same? Rewire is Breathing Space's 12-week journey to unlock your true potential. Wouldn't it be incredible to experience transformation that awakens your most authentic self? No matter where you are on your journey of change, imagine being supported through your breath and connected to your purpose. Daily breathwork practices, deep release sessions, and targeted journaling, this is the work that changes everything. Ready to step into your power? Find the link to join Rewire in the show notes and get your 33% off as a thank you for being a valued member of this fabulous community. Beautiful day, Jillian. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to ask you everything.
Thank you so much for a beautiful introduction and having me on. I'm so excited to just flow and have our conversation and get to know you too.
May I just kick off, like, what do we need to know about you to understand your desire for traveling and living out of a suitcase?
Oh, that is a great question. I love it. I think that one of the key components, one of the key things is I like to empower women, especially from maybe more disadvantaged socioeconomic circumstances growing up, to be able to travel, because that's kind of the background that I came from. Came from a very chaotic childhood in the, born in the Philippines, a single mother, definitely some crazy childhood experiences, and travel not really being on the horizon is something that was normal or even possible for me. So because of that, you know, that's one of the biggest things that I really want to help women with, especially those that don't think it's possible for them, because it wasn't possible for me. And here I am, right, traveling the world and doing it full time and teaching other women how to do the same. So I think that at the foundation, I think is something that people should know, because I want to share that it's possible for them, regardless of where they might be starting right now.
I couldn't agree more here with you. I think if you really want something, there are pathways and ways to get there. However, I think we sometimes don't see our opportunities because of our background, because of what we've been taught or told to do. So it's even sometimes scary to think about what our big desires are. And just as you, I had a big desire too, and it took me a decade till I dared to even think about it. I would like to know from you, what was the catalyst, or what was the moment where you said, you know what, I'm coming, I'm having this background, we never traveled, but I'm just going to do it anyway, I'm going to try this. What was the catalyst that brought you eventually to the point where you are today?
Yeah. And I think that, you know, one of the biggest things, especially if you don't see those opportunities already in your life, is to find other people that are doing it and listen to them and use them as expanders, whether that's mentors or teachers or people in the groups that you want to join. So I think that it may not happen in just one big leap, although it's exciting and a lot of things in life can be one big leap. Like I, packed everything up in a suitcase. But other things, it took me a while to get into that first solo travel experience. And the reason I did it was because I had a high school art history teacher who was just this most eccentric woman. And, she eccentric in the way that she would go solo travel to New York because one of her favorite like artists was doing an exhibit and she'd like take some days off to just go. She also actually put the idea of traveling and studying abroad in Rome and, really going in person to see the art and how different it is. And she was just so obsessed with the art. I'm like, okay, this woman's gotta be on something, right? She's gotta know what she's talking about. And so, yeah, she was actually my first spark of inspiration to know, okay, I think this is possible. She does it. Why can't I? And so, yeah, I did study abroad in Rome. But that wasn't solo. So that was part of a program, but it was a good dip in. And then I had promised myself after that experience, I would, within 5 years, come back to Rome no matter what. I had like no idea how I was going to come back. I was a broke college student. It's like, I'm going to come back no matter what. And then within 10 years, I was like, I'm going to find a way to live this life where I'm living abroad, where I can meet amazing people just on a whim because I stepped outside and see amazing art and taste amazing food and just like live this life. Didn't know what was possible for me, but those were the two promises that I made at the age of 20. And so I did fulfill both of them.
Beautiful. I think there is nothing more beautiful, at least for me, to marinate yourself in different cultures, to have conversations, to taste food. Like, if you're a foodie person, I think traveling out of
Yes.
one of the most beautiful experiences ever. Before I dive into the conversation of community and talking to people who are there where you want to be, I would like to know how was the wrap up at home for you? How was the decision making phase of I am leaving a career, I am leaving behind family and friends, and I'm packing everything up in a suitcase, which I can imagine was not even half of it what you had. So how was the last phase of how did you feel? What did you went through?
And I think the my big leap kind of came in phases. So I was living in California, so I grew up in California all of my life, up until the age of 28, I think. 27, 28, around there. And that's when I made my big first move of leaving San Diego, which I had lived in for at least a decade at that point, and left to go to Chicago. So, in that big move, I gave up my whole apartment, all of my things, and a 10-year high school sweetheart relationship. And I was like, at that point, it was post breakup, and also just wanting to, I had always, even in that relationship, even post college, I knew I wanted to live in a bigger city. I wanted to see art. I wanted more cultural experiences, more people around me. And there was just something about San Diego that just wasn't a match, but I stayed because I had so many things anchoring me. And as soon as I started really working on, my internal and external development, then that's when I finally got the courage, the confidence to make some big changes in my life. Travel was one of those big sparks. Solo traveling was one of those big sparks for me. It took me, solo traveling and then some therapy and then coaches and all of that to make this big first leap. So that was already kind of a stirring the pot type of situation with my family and friends and all of these things, right? So they, at this point, after really traveling, because I had gone back to Rome in 2014. So from 2014 up until like 2017, I started solo traveling more. I started, pursuing things that excited me again. But at the same time, I was also hitting my rock bottom with all the things that I had in my life. And so that was my big release period. So then when I moved from San Diego to Chicago, I finally started living this life and like being the person I wanted to be. This version that was always there, but that relationship and like the friends from California, I feel like it. I was just a version of myself there and a different version while I was traveling. And in Chicago, I was finally able to merge those two people into one and live as a more authentic person. And so then Chicago happened. It was beautiful. I loved it, and I still call the city home. But then the pandemic happened, and then I had a pandemic relationship actually, and it was that second round of breakups that pushed me because it was like, okay, do I want to be heartbroken in quarantine during the pandemic? And so this would be like the second round of quarantine at the end of 2020, and in the winter again. And I was like, oh no, I don't. And so that's actually what pushed me to become nomadic. And so at this point, because I was living a more authentic life, I already pulled people to me that knew me because of my love of travel. They traveled with me. They had that adventurous spirit, and they understood that need for me and encouraged it. And even the friends that I maintained in California, like, they all knew me as me because I had spent 3 years really cultivating that version. And so by the time I took that big leap and was like, hey, I think I'm gonna leave Chicago, and I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I'm gonna, pack it all up and we'll figure it out. I'm leaving in a week. And they were like, yeah, like, what can we do to help? Like, a friend, I used a friend's address for a couple of years. I used her storage. Like, I stayed in all my friends' different places whenever I visit them. So because I was leaned into that authentic version of myself, all the beautiful aligned connections that I had were just so, so supportive in this decision because it made sense for me and they knew it.
It was a
There you go.
small step, and then the big decision followed after. I would like to shortly note it in because you said the old you versus the new you. What was the difference? What has changed so much that you suddenly gained the more much more confidence than you ever had before, and you could just leave within a week?
Yeah, oh my gosh. I think the biggest thing was I didn't realize how negative my internal dialogue was. I had always had, I think, this overwhelming anxiety, and this was actually what led me to therapy in, I think I started in 2015, 2016. And it was because I was a workaholic. And so whenever I just didn't feel good enough in my internal dialogue, it was always saying, you're gonna get fired today. You're gonna wake up in the morning, you're gonna get fired if you don't do that. If you don't work 16 hours, you're gonna get fired. So I always had this overwhelming dialogue of just like negativity that I was reinforcing within myself. And I didn't realize that my reality was actually distorted, that none of these things were actually true, that these words, these fears, they didn't actually belong to me. They came from, maybe some intergenerational trauma that I was carrying, some things from my family that I was internalizing, or from society in general. But that was the dialogue that I kept saying over and over in my head. And it wasn't just about work, it was about all the other things. It's what kept me in a relationship that I had outgrown for, a decade, and with friends that I felt so lonely, even though I had a lot of people partying with me every weekend, right? Because my internal dialogue was, you can't do any better. And so when I finally realized that that internal dialogue wasn't true, I started to separate. And that was with the help of a really amazing therapist. But she helped me see and actually write it down, like, okay, what are the thoughts? Let's just say them out loud, because these fears, they've come up and you don't even know where they're coming from. So we wrote them all down, and we wrote the truth. And so I had like a sandwiched piece of paper that she made me look at. And that was a full year where every time something crept up, I had to look at this paper and look and like, okay, no, that's not, I'm not going to get fired today. And the reason is I just got promoted, or like all these counter arguments that were the actual truth that were grounded in reality. So yeah, so I think once I started to fix what my internal dialogue was saying, that helped me see more clearly what was happening instead of leaning into those gremlins, those voices telling me otherwise. And I think that was like the biggest break for me to actually gain my confidence, because now not only were, you know, was the people around me rooting for me, like I was rooting for me at this point. And I think that was the life-changing moment.
Absolutely. Like I can relate to this. As you find the love and compassion for yourself, you no longer need anybody external to give you that confirmation that you can, that you will not be fired, that you can move across countries or around the globe as well. That once you believe, once you internalize that belief in yourself, I think things start flowing and you eventually also start attracting more of the people who will support that. As you said, you felt lonely, although you were partying all the time. I think if there is a non-alignment with the people, like, you were already growing into a different direction than probably the people you were partying with, and then we grow apart, and then we actually have the opportunity to see, at least this is what happened to me, and be like, oh my God, I want different. I don't want this anymore. And it's no longer me. And then finding ways and opportunities that kind of break through the noise of society. I think you are very lucky that you very quickly found your tribe and people who said, okay, Jillian, how can we support you? Do you need my storage? Do you need a suitcase? Yeah. May I help you? Right. So I think this is what lots of people are afraid of. You know, being judged or perhaps misunderstood because they're leaving a career, leaving their sweet home behind, leaving family and friends behind. Have you ever experienced anything like it?
Of the judgment of others?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that that came when I wasn't really in friendships that were aligned. I think that came when, you know, well, actually it comes from family, right? Where they're like, what do you mean you're gonna live out of a suitcase? That took me a decade to warm my mom up to. But I think since 20, studying abroad, I finally, you know, wore her down to the point where she was like, okay, you just tell me the next time you fly. And I was like, oh, that's gonna be a little too often. So maybe I like come up with a different system of chatting with you, because every time I fly is going to be a little too much. But I think that, you know, the people that love you, and even with my mom, like she had her own fears, but those were her fears based off of her perspective and her experience that she was putting onto me. And so from her perspective, she's like, yeah, I'm afraid, because she didn't know what was possible. I did. I had more of an idea, right? And so then it was my job to then, you know, let her know and build confidence in myself, like by showing her how confident I was. It made her a little bit more easy. Like her stress level went a little lower because she knew, okay, like she's done this before. She seems like she's confident, versus like if I came at it with like, I don't know if I want to go, like maybe, you know, that apprehensive energy, then of course she's, you know, she's going to be more apprehensive for me. But if I go in there, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. These are the ways. And if she comes at me with like, oh, but how about safety? I already have a plan, right? So very different energy. Saving the people that love you, if you just, you know, set the mindset and show them how competent and confident you are, that goes a long way. In terms of the friendships, and I think that's one of the biggest things that I teach people as well, is you have to let the unaligned friendships fall away in order to have room for the ones that are aligned. And it's normal. Some friendships are, you know, there for a season or a reason or a lifetime, right? And in some cases, it might also be you come back at different points in life, and that relationship can also change. So if you are wanting to travel the world and a lot of your friends are, you know, settled, having children, living and kind of going that different direction, I don't think that it's, you know, the ones that are like completely judgmental and, you know, don't understand or don't want to understand, I think those are the ones where you're like, okay, well, maybe you're not the first person I tell. Maybe I send you updates, you know, like maybe I'll give it a little bit of space and then you can see how I'm doing. And if you're truly, you know, like a good friend for me, then you would be excited because you see that I'm happy and, you know, I'm thriving. even if it's something that's different from your lifestyle. Like, I have so many beautiful friendships where they are in that phase of their life, and it's a very different phase of life than I am, but they cheer me on. They're the first ones that are like, give me the updates. I want to hear it. Like, we're on like hours long FaceTime calls. I share what I'm doing, and they give me their perspective to help me on that particular project, right? Just because we're doing different things doesn't mean that like their perspective is completely like invaluable, right? Or not valuable. It's actually like really important. And same thing for me. Like, I give them a different perspective from the things that they're going through, and I also cheer them on. So I think that once you're in those aligned friendships, once you've worked on yourself enough to attract them and recognize them and be able to foster them, that's when, regardless of where at what point you are in life, you have people cheering you on.
If, even if they are not there yet, there might be some who will totally understand what you're going through and what you are doing, and that will support you on your journey. We will tap shortly into the topic of meaningful connections in a moment, but I would like to know from you, you're supporting people who want to solo travel, who want to, or women who want to make that experience. However, I know from my side that if someone has the desire to move countries or move around the globe more than just a holiday, that your entire lifestyle changes. And I think this is also the objective here. And we both are very speaking highly of it because it has transformed our lives. We made our experiences. We grew as a person through those experiences, but there are also downs to it. What was your, what is the biggest downside of living from a suitcase, and how do you navigate that?
I think that travel burnout is real, and it's very tempting, especially when you first start doing this lifestyle, when you first start solo traveling. It's so tempting. Like, I was that girl who did month-long backpacking trips in Europe, because from the US, you got to save up your vacation time. So I would carry around like a 40-pound backpack. It hurt my back. And I would travel to new country every like 2 days, right? I was wild. Yeah, it was a lot. So, going from that thinking, because I was like, okay, if I'm gonna go to Europe, I'm gonna do like 20 countries at once, right? And you fit it all in, and you see it. I don't need to sleep. I don't need to like eat really. I'll grab a sandwich. That was like the type of travel I was doing before. And there, it comes in phases and comes in seasons, right? Of course. And so when I switched into this lifestyle, a part of me was like, yeah, let's do it. I'm gonna work full time, build my career, build my own business, maintain my connections, have healthy eating habits, and I'm also going to travel very, very fast and see the world and do all the things. And realistically, that was just not a sustainable approach, right? Because you burn yourself out from all of it, and then you're just like, oh, I'm a failure. And I don't know, that internal negative dialogue comes back up because everything is crashing down. And where, wherever you go, there you are, right? Big statement that's very common and very often heard, but it's very true, because you have to really know yourself, know what your limits are, know what's a healthy pace for you, regardless of whether you're traveling or not. This is just another type of lifestyle, but you still have to maintain your day-to-day and what makes you feel whole and sane. And so for me, that meant actually, like at first, okay, I was like, maybe I'll do 1 month per place. And when after that, I was like, oh, I can't do less than like 2 or 3 months, really, if I want to feel like I'm not living out of a suitcase, right? Like, just because I am doesn't mean I want to feel like I'm living it's like out of one. And also with the community aspect, a lot of people don't want to invest in you as, a person if you're only there for a fleeting amount of time. And so I find that at least the 2 or definitely like at least 3 month point is when you start to really build community and build those relationships, because people are like, oh, okay, you're here for a long enough time. So I think that that was definitely one of the things that I experienced, and that a lot of people I know experience in this lifestyle, is the realization that you can't do it all at the same time and not burnout. I think it's common, and I think we just accept that it's a thing. So
Yes.
traveling in seasons, I think, is really important, and assessing like what is your priority for this season? Is it work? Is it health? Is it connection and relationships? And choosing the destination and choosing the speed and lifestyle for that season that's going to match your priority.
Absolutely. I think my partner and me, when we entered Asia for the year travel, we did it together. We've been both working a full week, but we suffered from FOMO. That was incredible. That was a side of myself I did not know that exists. He was even worse. He was like, yeah, I gotta go, gotta go. I'm slightly more, I'm highly sensitive for, so I reach my boundaries much quicker. But what we did, we worked the entire week, and as soon as we dropped the pan, we were on the go, exploring, going, doing, meeting. And eventually, like after 2 months, I realized, oh my goodness, the only thing I want to go is home. Because I realized the only thing I want is a day of peace and me just not being exposed to touristic activities or coffee shops or restaurants. So we indeed as well just slow down. And I think that was the most beautiful learning process that we can also translate into our lives, no matter if we travel full time or not, that there are seasons, that the focus, also if you are in a caught in a city life and travel every now and then, that the focus can be indeed traveling or working, health, relationships, etc. And this changes. Just because you travel, you don't have to become a full-time tourist, because I think this is a hell of a job, especially if you have another job.
Yeah, exactly. And as much as we're foodies, sometimes you just want the same meal that's healthy as your base, and save the good things for those special occasions, but more often, right? Like at least once a week, but yeah, you need a little bit of balance and
Yeah,
some
the
healthy things in your
comfort
life.
of routine, I believe it is, because we are like, we need that in order to function properly. And like, at least for me, to step into my full potential of work, serving the world, being a good partner, being a good sister and daughter, etc. So I really need that compensation eventually, because yeah, seeing temples only ain't gonna make it. This is what I said back then. Although I love them, I was extremely excited. Speaking of also maintaining connections and aligned connections, I experienced it pretty much that it is not easy to make connections all over the world, especially if you are on the go. But what I also hear a lot is when people have moved countries or are thinking about moving countries, that it's not easy for them to create connections. I bet you have a couple of tips and something more for us here.
Yes, thank you. So that was the interesting thing that I realized for myself, was because I'd done so much work in becoming me and like really making myself whole again to attract the aligned friendships to me. I never really had like a huge issue once I started traveling full time in this, because I think I was already kind of putting a lot of these like processes and steps in place. When I moved to Chicago, I started from scratch, not knowing anyone. And that was when I was like, I'm going to make all the friends. And I actually did within a 2 month period. I'm still best friends with all of them. And I use those same processes that I learned in Chicago, and I've translated that in each of the cities. And that's actually what I teach and help other people with now. But the big realization that I realized too was that as we're traveling, a lot of the times we travel, like I traveled for heartbreak, to get over some heartbreak. A lot of people do the same thing. It's a very common thing to do. Travel for burnout. A lot of people are burnt out from their corporate careers. So we travel to have a transformation a lot of the times, whether we know it or not. And with that comes the processing of some of the trauma that we dealt with. And it's so easy when you're meeting other travelers to just quickly bond over that trauma that you're both experiencing. And that's actually what happened to me when I first started nomading, was in And I found myself in Puerto Vallarta. Lot of people. I was able to meet so many people right at once, but then I didn't feel good about the connections. I was like, oh, we have a lot of things in common, but why don't I feel great after hanging out with them? And I had one of my best friends from Chicago. She asked me, like, when was the last time you laughed? Like, I love laughing. I love being silly. And that was like a light bulb moment for me. I'm like, I don't remember. And that's not a great answer. And I took a step back and I realized, okay, like what do I need to do to get back into like my silly laughing self? And it took me some time doing things that I loved. Like I bought a ukulele, I got dessert, I went on the beach, I journaled, I got my tarot. I like did all of those things I like to do. And I stopped going to some of the meetups, stopped doing like just the full-on drinking connections for a bit, and invited new friends to come with me to the beach to play ukulele, to just do silly things. And I met such amazing, beautiful friendships. I'm still friends with them to this day. And that's what sparked this idea of using play as a way to make meaningful friendships and to keep those meaningful friendships as well. Because, this process doesn't have to be heavy. And like, just because we're going through all these personal transformations doesn't mean like we have to feel like we're going through these personal transformations. Like we should be able to have friendships that are light and meaningful, like ones you can have these conversations with and go twirl and blow bubbles into the beach at sunset, right? Like those are one and the same could be equal. So that's really the foundation of the friendships that I found really light a fire in people and really create that basis of alignment is if you can play. And so I teach people what does play look like for them and also make the process playful as well. So I've actually made this board game style experience. So you start off in your isolation tower, which sometimes could be a good thing. You can put yourself in the isolation tower. And then you kind of go through this process of trying to navigate the seas up until you get to Bestie Beach, which is what I'm like calling that like final destination. And you can instead of swimming your way there and like running into currents and challenges and all these things, I have my membership, which I'm calling, I know it's gonna sound corny, I'm calling it the friendship, because it's the ship that you can go on with a bunch of other people
I
to go on
love
this journey
that. So
with
you go with your
you.
ship and you collect your crowd and you go through those waves and changes. And yeah, I
Exactly. And you
love
can
this
go through
imagination.
independent. Yes, I was really leaning into like play to make this happen. But yeah, like you navigate. I have like the self-reflection seas because I think that's the basis, right? Is really doing some self-reflection. I have like playing with fire dunes, so understanding what your play personality is and what lights you up and going back into that inner child. And then how to magnetize yourself. So there's like magnetic island. Like how do you spend some time here and really become magnetic? So you can walk into a room. Like I can go to any meetup now. And my strategy for going to a meetup, for example, because we've all been to like the large ones where it's intimidating and you're like, oh, who am I going to connect with? Like, should I even be here? And my strategy for that is I'll probably one enjoy myself. So I'm only gonna go if it's like a topic or a restaurant or something that I'm like, oh, I know I'm gonna enjoy myself regardless. But two, I'm really just trying to go there to meet at least one person. And I don't need to work the room because I think that's where people get really exhausted. They feel like they have to introduce themselves. They have to like go to all the different people and all the different groups and make themselves known in order to find their people. But really, you just sit with one or two. See how
Yeah.
that connection sits, right?
Just like
And
how I
all the
wanted to
places.
see every temple in Southeast Asia.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're
Yeah.
like, oh, maybe there's more out there. And you realize the universe is this fun thing where it brings all the people to you that you need to connect with, right? There is like, I don't know, are we at 8 billion people in the world now? And you meet only a certain set of people in your lifetime, but those people that you meet are so integral to your path. And so I think about these connections in that way as well. Like if I go to this meetup and say I don't, so this has happened so many times, like I don't end up meeting a bunch of people at a single meetup because I'm focused on the one or two connections that I'm presented with. And I really try to deepen those connections. And for each one of those, then I get their information and we hang out again and see if it's a good mutual fit. But even if I don't actually even make an introduction if because I have kind of, I don't know, I think I've worked on my energy enough. I'll go to a meetup and either at the end of the night, people will come up to me and be like, oh, I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but like, I really love your energy and I saw and I really just wanted to connect before we left. Or I will run into them again at a different meetup and they'll say like, hey, I saw you at the other meetup, didn't get a chance to talk to you. It's happened so many times now. Or they'll find me on Instagram where I'm like, oh my God, how did you even find me? But I think that that's what happens in like trusting that those connections will come to you and not necessarily being so like, because I'm like whole within myself, I don't necessarily have the energy of like, oh, I need you to talk to me. I need you to be my friend. It's more just like, I'm here, I'm doing my thing. This is who I am. And that attracts so many people to you're the yeah. right people to you. So I think yeah. that that's an important lesson too.
Yeah. Thank you so much for bringing in this advice. I think it's very valuable to you. Me too. So I believe to every listener, like sometimes we take ourselves too serious or we take the situation too serious. And if you go playful, and into the situation and just allow things to happen, things will happen. And dear listener, if you're just listening to this right now, you think this is valuable and you need someone who needs to hear Shailene's story, please don't shy off to share it. Leave us a comment if you like the conversation, because if you tell us that you like this, we can produce more of this. You can leave us a comment on Apple Podcasts, a review on Apple Podcasts, a comment on Spotify, and you will find everything you need to connect with Shailene, including the direct link to her membership. If you are a solo traveler, expat, or you are looking to make meaningful and light connections around the globe, as well in the show notes to join there. And before we round up this conversation, I would like to know, what do people misunderstand the most about you, Shailene?
Ooh, I love this question. I can go a couple ways with this one, but let's go with the most common, and I think it's how to pronounce my name.
I probably did it wrong.
No, you're great. You're great. But it's Jalene. But I think that's probably my most misunderstood thing is it Galene or Galene or Jolene? It's Jalene, but I actually, that's the fun misunderstanding part.
But I do believe that if someone pronounces your name wrong, you get a chance to correct them. And this could be a chance to have a meaningful conversations, because conversations start like sometimes very in a very simple way. And I think it's a great hook.
It is.
Yes.
And Beyonce just re-released Jolene by Dolly Parton. And so there's been many times where I've been serenaded in a bar with Jolene playing because, you know, I'll take it. It's close enough.
Love it. Thank you for bringing your wisdom to the show, Jolene. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks so much for having me. This was great.